A newborn creature is weak and helpless. It has no idea of the dangers around it. It needs to be protected. To be fed in order to grow strong and to survive. It has no chance of surviving on its own. Its mother will protect it from danger, feed it, and if necessary, give up her life for it. In this film, we are about to examine the miraculous emotion God has inspired in living things, maternal love, and the sacrifices living things make for their offspring, and witness one of the greatest miracles of creation. Birds occupy a special place as some of the most devoted parents in the world. Parent birds work without rest for the sake of their newly hatched chicks. Some bird species bring food to their young 24 hours a day. All the young do is open their mouths and wait for the food their parents bring them. They need their parents' love and devotion in order to survive. Death is inevitable for a chick left on its own. Dippers devote themselves to their young. They build their nest in a safe place behind a small waterfall, far from prying eyes. The mother and father tirelessly collect food for their chicks. They bring food to the nest every 10 minutes. These creatures are birds, not human beings. And all one would expect of them is for them to think only of themselves and their own stomachs. Yet what happens is exactly the opposite. They think only of their young, not themselves, and they devote themselves to them. many living species can make even greater sacrifices for their offspring. A female zebra will risk death in defense of her fawn. In the event of an attack, she places herself between her baby and the predators. Even though she can run much faster than her baby, she deliberately moves slower than it. That means if the predators catch up with her, she will die and the fawn will escape. This is a dangerous game. A dangerous game which animals sometimes lose. These are the shores of Northern Europe. Glimo nests are here, on the tall cliffs that stretch along the shore. When August arrives, the chicks make their first attempts to fly and attempt to reach the sea. That is not easy. The sea is about 1 kilometer away from the cliffs, and the nest is quite high up. Finally, the first chick jumps out of the nest into the air. It glides towards the sea accompanied by some adults. Its first test flight is successfully completed. The other chicks follow it. This is a very dangerous flight. It is essential for the safety of the chick that it ends in the sea, because there are foxes lying in ambush on the shore. Some chicks fail to make the sea on these test flights and make forced landings on the beach. As you can see, the mother Glimo does not abandon them. She tries with all her might to get her chick to run to the sea, because the foxes have spotted it. The mother constantly pushes her chick towards the sea. She also flaps her wings, trying to attract the approaching danger to herself. The foxes will be on the chick any moment. The mother then makes a remarkable act of self-sacrifice to gain time for her chick and save it. She throws herself in front of the foxes. She gives up her own life to save her chick. The chick manages to reach the sea, unaware of what is going on behind it. It calls for its mother. It has no chance of surviving on its own. Other adult glimos respond to the call. They treat the chick as one of their own. There is only one explanation for an animal behaving in such a devoted manner and sacrificing its own life for that of its offspring. God created it, and the self-sacrifice it displays in protecting its young is inspired in it by God. The members of this family are all devoted to one another. A female cheetah and her cubs. The mother makes enormous sacrifices all through the time she looks after them. She generally goes hungry in order to feed them, and loses almost half her total body weight. If necessary, she will give up her own life for her cubs. A lion represents a great danger to the cubs. And the mother cheetah throws herself in its path without a moment's hesitation. By risking her own life, she distracts the lion and gains time for her cubs to get away. Had come into being by chance, as the proponents of the theory of evolution claim, and were a selfish creature thinking only of its own survival, then one would expect her to abandon her cubs and flee. But the cheetah does not do that. She throws herself in front of the lion and gives up her life if necessary. There is no doubt that it is God who inspires this sense of self-sacrifice in the mother cheetah. Antarctica. The coldest region in the world, where winter lasts for 6 months. Having offspring in such a difficult condition calls for unimaginable sacrifices. And here live some of the most devoted parents in the world. Penguins. These penguins are heading for a giant meeting place. The journey will take weeks. They will travel a distance of more than 100 kilometers. Sometimes they swim, and sometimes they paddle. They all head for the same place in a quite miraculous manner. At their journey's end, they will astonishingly meet with thousands of other penguins at one specific spot. There is a very important purpose behind these meetings. The place where they all meet is where they will bring their offspring into the world. This tiring journey is just the start of the sacrifices and difficulties the penguins accept for the sake of their young. The real difficulties begin after the females have laid their eggs, because winter will soon set in. Winter temperatures drop to minus 50 degrees. Winds of up to 100 kilometers per hour hurl ice and snow about. The female penguins leave their eggs to the males and return to the sea. The devoted males take on the task of looking after the eggs. The male penguin carries the egg on its feet to protect it from the ice. Its thick feathers protect the egg from the cold. If the eggs fall into the ice, it will freeze at once. So as you can see, the male penguins are always very careful. The sacrifices they make go beyond all human comprehension. They go without food for 4 months. They remain on their feet the whole time, never putting the egg down even for a moment. The penguins huddle together for protection from the freezing wind. All they can do during the 4 months of winter is to be patient. At the end of that difficult time, spring comes again. The eggs have hatched, and the penguin chicks have opened their eyes on the world. Since the layers of fat that will keep them from the cold have not yet formed, they are still on their father's feet. The chick's first food comes from milk from its father's crop. Even though the male penguin has eaten nothing for 4 months, it has made another sacrifice and kept the food in its crop for its chick to eat. At just that moment, the females come back on land from the sea. They also have had things to do over the last 4 months. They have been hunting and storing food in their crops for their newly hatched chicks. As soon as the females arrive, the males who have gone hungry for the last 4 months rush to the sea to begin hunting. As soon as the male penguins have eaten, they return to the nest and continue to feed their young together with the females. A short while later, the young penguins grow up and reach a size where they can go traveling with their devoted fathers. The male penguin eats nothing for 4 months for the sake of its young. It stands on its feet all that time, never leaving the egg on the ground even for a moment. We are dealing with an extraordinary sacrifice here. And the sacrifice in question is made by animals. Among human beings, one finds examples of people totally devoid of conscience who abandon their children in times of difficulty, and many children are forced to live on the streets. But penguins never abandon their young, not even under the most terrible conditions. Those people who support the theory of evolution and reject creation maintain that animals only consider their own interests. So they are quite unable to explain how a penguin goes hungry for 4 months and fights against the cold. So, who is it who inspires such self-sacrifice in these creatures? Once again, there is only one answer to that question. God created penguins. It is also God who inspired in them the amazing sacrifices they make. In the Quran, God has revealed His dominion over living things. There is no creature God does not hold by the forelock. My Lord is on a straight path. The sacrifices animals make for their offspring can be seen from the very coldest regions on earth to the very hottest. These are the jungles of Thailand. The greatest problem facing stork chicks here is the boiling heat. The adult storks bring their chicks water in their beaks. They then pour it over the chicks whose feathers have not even formed yet. That cold shower gives the chicks a little relief. The chicks also need shade as well as those cold showers. And their parents provide the shade they need. They open their wings and shelter them from the hot sun. The care the storks take of their young, their devotion and sacrifice, makes them some of the most exemplary parents in the world. Many species of duck carry their young in their wings. When the mother emerges on dry land, it is time for the ducklings to alight. The mother makes a few adjustments to the nest to make it comfortable for her offspring. While this is going on, the males are collecting food for them. When the male returns to the nest, it carefully feeds the ducklings. When the duckling has eaten, it once again returns to the safest place for it, under its mother's wings. Other creatures are also closely protected by their mothers, very closely indeed. Let us now take a trip to see this close and splendid protection in action, to the River Nile. In these waters live Nile crocodiles. Crocodiles are some of the fiercest creatures in the world. Yet, they are also some of the most loving mothers on earth. The female crocodile buries her eggs in the sand along the river bank. When the time comes for them to hatch, she carefully begins to clear the sand away. She is very careful not to damage the eggs in any way. The eggs begin to hatch as soon as the sands on top of them have been cleared away. And the tiny crocodile babies emerge. At this point, a very surprising thing happens. The mother opens her huge jaw with its sharp teeth and takes the baby in her mouth. The first scientists who witnessed this believed that the crocodiles were eating their young. whereas the truth is very different. The safest place on the shore for the babies is in their mother's mouth. Very carefully and gently, the mother takes her babies one by one into her mouth. The newborn babies literally beg to enter their mother's mouth. The female also takes the unhatched eggs in her mouth and squeezes them just hard enough to crack the shells. These razor-sharp teeth can tear a buffalo or antelope to pieces. The pressure a crocodile's teeth can produce when biting its prey reaches spectacular dimensions. Yet she behaves so sensitively and carefully when taking its young into its jaws that those teeth never do them any harm. Once the mother has filled her mouth with her babies, she returns to the river. She goes to a safe and shallow bank she has already selected. She then carefully opens her mouth and shakes her head. She gently drops the babies and unhatched eggs in the water. And the water is suddenly full of tiny crocodiles. When it comes time for her eggs to hatch, a creature as fierce and savage as a crocodile turns into a mother full of love and care for her babies. The babies are now under their mother's protection at all times. Near the crocodile nest at around that time, things are happening under the ground. Turtle eggs under the sand crack open, and the tiny babies slowly come to the surface. These tiny creatures are totally defenseless. They need to enter the water at once if they are to survive. And they miraculously begin to rush towards the water as soon as they hatch. There are giant crocodiles in their way. Yet the crocodiles do the babies no harm. The baby turtle passes by this giant crocodile in complete confidence. This baby turtle has got lost. It suddenly finds itself face to face with a hungry crocodile thousands of times larger than itself lying in the sun. The crocodile sees the baby. At first sight, it would appear as if the baby is doomed. The crocodile suddenly opens its mouth and places the baby turtle between its sharp teeth. Yet it does not intend to eat it. The crocodile straightens the turtle, which has come the wrong way round. Then, surprisingly, the crocodile carries the lost baby turtle to the water it has failed to find. The feelings of love that God has inspired in this predator save not only its own offspring, but the tiny baby turtle too. God created every living thing in the world, and every living thing behaves in the manner decreed by Him. In one verse, God reveals, "Everyone in the heavens and earth belongs to Him. All are submissive to Him." One of the finest examples of the link between mother and baby can be seen in dolphins. The mother prepares her baby for all kinds of danger. And she is obliged to be strict with it while doing so, albeit unwillingly. These young dolphins are racing a boat. One of the young dolphins unwittingly draws too close. The propeller or hull could do it serious damage. The mother spots the danger and immediately draws up alongside the youngster. It pushes it down to the bottom of the sea. The angry mother sends out high-frequency sound waves to the youngster's body with her nose. These waves both indicate the mother's anger and cause the youngster a measure of discomfort. The youngster is very unhappy. After that stern reprimand, the mother begins to swim alongside it and affectionately rubs one fin against his. That is the dolphin equivalent of holding hands. By doing so, she shows the youngster that she loves it. The knowledge of God has embraced every living thing and every inanimate object. In one verse, God reveals, "And no fruit emerges from its husk, nor does any female get pregnant or give birth without his knowledge." Darwin's theory of evolution suggests that life on Earth emerged by chance. The theory of evolution also maintains that there is a pitiless fight for survival among living things. According to the theory, the strong win and the weak are defeated and eliminated. Charles Darwin, the founder of the theory, based his idea of the so-called fight for survival on the concept of natural selection. Yet Darwin, who lived in the 19th century and whose chances of making observations were extremely limited, was badly wrong. It has now emerged that natural selection has no evolutionary force at all, and that furthermore, there is no such ruthless war in nature as Darwin has claimed. Most weak individuals are protected by stronger ones, and different species help one another. As you have seen in this film, parents protect their babies, the weakest and most defenseless things in the world, at the cost of their lives. The theory of evolution that has already collapsed in the face of modern science is even further demolished by these observations in nature. In a book written in defense of the theory of evolution, Professor Cemal Yıldırım, one of Turkey's most prominent evolutionists, implicitly admits that maternal love cannot be explained by blind chance or natural selection. Is there any possibility of accounting for a mother's love for her young by a blind mechanism, that is, natural selection, with no psychological component? There is no doubt that Darwinists are hard put to provide a satisfactory answer to this question. Although it is not scientific, the idea that nature consists solely of a relentless struggle for survival has been blindly defended by evolutionists, and some have even attempted to apply it to human life. Such people, devoid of such concepts as love, affection, and compassion that religion brings with it, have maintained that weak, handicapped, and sick people are condemned to elimination by natural selection, and that they have no right to life. Historically, the most prominent supporter of the idea was Ernst Haeckel, the most important proponent of Darwinism in Germany. In his book, Wonders of Life, Haeckel proposed the destruction of abnormal newborn infants without hesitation. He wanted all the sick and deformed, who may be an obstacle to the so-called evolution of society, not just children, to be eliminated as a requirement of the laws of evolution. He complained that hundreds of thousands of incurable lunatics, lepers, people with cancer, etc., are artificially kept alive in our modern communities without the slightest profit to themselves or to the general body. Redemption from evil should be accomplished by a dose of some painless and rapid poison. These ruthless ideas of Haeckel were taken up by Adolf Hitler's Nazi Germany, and tens of thousands of innocent people were killed on the grounds that they were sick or handicapped, and represented an obstacle to the so-called evolution of the German race. These graves belong to people murdered by the Nazis because they allegedly represented an obstacle to evolution. A century or so after Haeckel, Professor Ali Demirsoy, a prominent Turkish evolutionist, surprisingly supports the same idea. Demirsoy says that evolutionary biologists need to conduct genetic tests on babies in their mother's wombs, and kill those which they regard as flawed without allowing them to be born. Demirsoy describes himself as a biological fascist and says, "If you ask me, I'm a biological fascist, and those babies who exhibit such features at the fourth month of pregnancy need to be terminated." As we have seen, evolutionists cite nature in support of their inhuman ideas, such as killing a handicapped baby. Yet when we look at nature and animal behavior, we see that evolutionists are mistaken, and that even animals are more compassionate and possessed of more conscience than the people who actually put forward such ideas. The scenes you are about to witness are an important example of how animals treat the crippled. A hot day on the plains of Kenya. A herd of elephants have set out on one of their day expeditions to find food. The leader of the herd is this female. It is a hot day, and this female gives birth to a calf. This lovely calf, born only a few hours earlier, never leaves its mother's side, not even for a moment. Yet there is a serious problem. The calf is finding it difficult to stand up because it has a serious problem with its front feet. The are twisted inwards, preventing the calf from standing up. Researchers conducting observations in the area believe that the calf will inevitably die. The next day, the mother elephant leaves the herd. Because her calf has health problems and she can no longer lead the herd. The herd need to carry on and look for food. But it isn't possible for the calf to catch up with the herd. If the older calf wants to survive, it will have to accompany the herd. Yet it faces a grave dilemma. The mother elephant tries to use her trunk to lift the sick calf up and get it to stand. Eventually, the older calf gives up and slowly begins to walk back to the herd. Yet, it is still in two minds. It stops and looks back. The mother elephant is still trying to lift her calf up and help it. Suddenly, the older calf screams and runs back to its mother and sick brother. Although it is risking death, never again does it leave its mother's and brother's sides. The next day, the mother and older calf have still not abandoned the sick calf. The baby is in pain with every step, but it is not abandoned by its patient, devoted, and loving mother and brother. And death still looks to be inevitable. At the end of the third day, something miraculous happens. The calf's feet slowly begin to gain some elasticity. Under its mother's watchful eye, it tries to straighten up on its feet. It keeps trying, tirelessly and determinedly. Eventually, it manages to stand for a moment. Then it kneels down again before making another attempt. And by the end of the fourth day, it manages to stand. The mother and the other calf's patience, love and devotion have given the young calf the time and support it needed in order to survive. While some evolutionists regard the killing of a handicapped baby as an evolutionary obligation, animals in nature treat their sick offspring with love and self-sacrifice. The facts we have seen in this film show that nature does not only consist of struggle and conflict as evolutionists would have us believe. Most living things do not, again as evolutionists claim, behave savagely and selfishly. On the contrary, many living things demonstrate great devotion. They put up with a great many difficulties in order to raise their young. They accept all kinds of dangers in order to protect their young, sometimes even at the cost of their own lives. That is because living things did not come into existence by chance, as Darwinists maintain. God created all these living things and inspired in them feelings of love, compassion, and self-sacrifice that can never be explained. One verse from the Quran recounts that God's knowledge and power surround all things. It is God who created the seven heavens and of the earth the same number, the command descending down through all of them, so that you might know that God has power over all things, and that God encompasses all things in His knowledge.